It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Welcome to the MMA show. I'm so happy you tuned in because we have a very important topic. We're kind of continuing with our discussion about depression, suicide, and joining me is a lovely lady. And I'm really excited that she's here because she can try and help us understand what it's like to have suicidal tendencies, to deal with depression. I just hope that if anyone's listening and they're thinking like that, that they can call someone just like you did earlier, or go and get committed and have more evaluation. Now, what I find fascinating is that at first your doctors didn't think you were bipolar. And for people, I know you, so I can understand why your doctors didn't think that. But for these people that don't know you, could you kind of explain why they didn't think you were bipolar?
Sure. It's bipolar type 2 is a little bit harder to, it's a little bit more tricky because typical bipolar is manic depression. So you cycle between episodes of high mania where you're elevated mood, you do really crazy outlandish things, mm-hmm. and then you go into depression. And for bipolar type 2, the mania really is almost non-existent. They call it like hypomanic episodes, where I would just feel on top of the world. I didn't feel like going out and doing anything crazy or that anyone would think abnormal, but I just felt like I could do anything, or I would be up at midnight, you know, like wanting to redecorate my house or change the curtains or just do something strange like that, and I could get a lot of things done in a very short amount of time. And then I would go into episodes of depression for a few days or a couple of weeks on end.
So generally speaking, your behavior was not totally abnormal. You are a normal person most of the time, right?
Right. And when I was in depression, I would never come out and share that information with anyone. So I just didn't go anywhere, didn't do anything during those times. I would only go out when I felt great.
Ah, so it's time you just stay at home or something like that.
Right. Okay.
Wow. Because I've known you quite a long time, and it never dawned on me that you could be dealing with something like that. And especially, you know, when we think of celebrities or we think about beauty queens or we think about things like that, we never think about that they're real people that could be suffering with something. Mm-hmm. And so when we hear it on the news that so-and-so overdosed or so-and-so took their life, it's like shocking.
Right.
Because we just never think of anything like that. And you had a state title and you were going around the country. How was that during this whole time? I mean, you were pretty much more stable then, so.
Yeah, I was definitely a lot more stable back then. Things really started to change for me chemically after I had my kids.
Okay,
I think
so that was a
shift in my hormones.
Wow, that was mm-hmm. a big thing. And it's hearing your story is pretty fascinating. The fact that it sounds like deep down you wanted to be the best mom you could be.
Absolutely.
And so you're struggling with this issue of your hormones, your depression, your bipolar that you didn't know you had.
Right.
You're trying to be a good mom. You're trying to get help. And that's what I commend you for, because there's so many people, like, you know, that I've known and other people that maybe not try so hard. Maybe they give up easier because the pain is so difficult, so they finally pull the plug.
Right.
And perhaps maybe it's because you're a mother, because you're a wife, that you were trying so hard to live for something. And what a blessing that is. And I'm glad that you tried, because it's so frustrating when you are on the other side of someone committing suicide and you've tried to work with these people and you've tried everything you can possibly do, and at the end you don't get the goal you wanted because they couldn't handle the pain anymore.
Right.
You're left with thinking, I failed, and it's a horrible feeling, because you love that person. If you didn't love that person, you would never try and help them.
Right.
And did you know when you were having these suicidal thoughts that there were people that loved you, or was your thought pattern just in such a hurtful place that you couldn't see it? I mean, what was that like?
I knew there was people that loved me, but in that moment, I couldn't see beyond my own pain, if that makes sense. Like, I knew it wasn't logical to mm-hmm. be thinking the way I was, but I didn't know how to get out of it. I was trying everything in my power that I could. I mean, up even to the littlest thing, like trying to eat all the right foods and make sure I exercise and do all these different things that the doctors were telling me to do, and I just kept hitting a wall. I was still having these thoughts, and, you know, you just reach a point where you're just like, I can't take this anymore. I don't, you know, and then you have the people that love you, that they get to a point where they don't know what to do anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone is so completely frustrated and worn out to the very end of their rope, and you just don't know what to do anymore. I'm so thankful that I had my children. I think they were a huge, if not the hugest, motivator for me to keep going. I feel very sorry for, I do feel like they kept me going, because I wanted so bad to show them that I could break free from this, and that they didn't have to live this way, you know, so I could break the cycle, you mm-hmm. know, or so you call it.
Right.
For them.
Right. Now, I know you and you're a believer in Jesus Christ. How did this all fit in? Did you ever get angry with God? Did you ever wonder, why aren't you helping me? Did you ever try and turn away? I mean, how did that relate to your relationship with God?
It's interesting you brought up that point. I really went back and forth with him a lot during this whole process. For the longest time, I didn't blame him. I felt it was all my fault. Mm-hmm. You know, what was I doing wrong? And then when I did everything that I could possibly humanly do, I got to the point where I was angry at him. And I was like, why would you allow this? You know, how could you do this to me? But I realized when I was in the hospital the first time after I checked myself in, I literally cried out to him. And I said, what do you want from me? I can't do this on my own anymore. And it was like he audibly said to me, I've never left you. And at that moment, I knew that even though I felt like he was all that I had, he was all that I needed. And that just reaffirmed in me that, yeah, this really sucks, but he is still here with me, and he's not going to leave me. The religious side of it, too, is my own parents actually tried to...
exercise?
Exercise. My dad actually tried to exercise the demon from me. And, oh, that made me so incredibly angry, just because I knew that, you know, I was walking with the Lord throughout all of this and that he had never left me. I bring that up not to criticize my parents per se, although I don't agree with it, but just our religious community can be so blind to mental illness and so stigmatizing to it. I think that a lot of people are afraid to reach out for help because of that, especially those with the Christian faith or other faiths too.
That's a good point that you said that,
yeah.
Because I don't think we're prepared or we know or we even think about that. And there's members in our congregation all the time that probably are in silence, just mm-hmm. like you were. And maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't have a diagnosis. Because how long did it take you to finally get a diagnosis?
6.5 years.
Was that a big relief for you when you finally had something tangible you can get your mind around?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, you're just like running in circles trying to figure out what in the world is wrong with you, thinking that you're absolutely crazy.
Right.
And when you finally realize, okay, there is an actual diagnosis for this, now I can move forward. Now I can learn how to manage this. It was just like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders.
Were you ever in prayer about something like this? Like, God, give me an answer? Anything like that during this time?
I cried out to God all the time.
Yeah? And you didn't hear anything, so that had to be frustrating? Or did you hear anything?
I wasn't getting the answers that I wanted to hear, of course, but they came in his time, you know?
I only ask that because I, when I've lost, at least, my last one was the worst baby, okay? I went to a deep depression, too, and I hated God. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want to go to church. I don't even know how I started going to church again, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And I would tell him I hate him. I said, I'll never pray to you again. I never want to go to your church again. I want nothing to do with you. How could you do this to me? And I didn't hear from him for a very long time. But he was always there. He never left me. And I could see that now because I was able to get out of bed, which was hard sometimes. I can understand the temptation of drugs and alcohol. I didn't do it. I think I think he was there enough to stop me from doing that, I guess. I had enough power not to go through with it.
Right.
But that temptation was certainly there. And then finally, he told me at church. He's like, Amber, would I have died on the cross and went through all that pain I went through just to hurt you? And that's when I broke down, finally. And I started crying, and I felt bad because he wouldn't have done all that for me if he was hurting me on purpose.
Right.
But we live in a fallen body, a world, and our bodies aren't perfect. They're attacked by sin, and sometimes sin causes miscarriages because your body's not perfect anymore.
Right.
Okay? And then mental illness and, you know, just bad health in general because
right.
we don't have a perfect body. It's not because God made you that way. It's not because God wanted me to lose my babies. It's just
right.
the fact that we're living in a fallen world. And I hope if anyone can get anything from this, from your story, from my little tiny story, that God is always there and he wants to be there for you.
Yes.
And just gotta trust him, I guess. Even though it's hard, if you don't hear from him for a long time, eventually, just like you said, in his time, when I was ready to finally hear the message, before I don't think I was ready to hear that.
Right.
And I don't know if that was the same way with you. If when he finally spoke to you, that was the time he's like, Amy's ready to hear from me. I don't know, but it sounds to me like that could have been the story.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I'd like to bring up is that mental illness, a lot of people will separate that from the body, like it's not a physical illness,
mm-hmm.
but it involves our brain. And I think that we really stigmatize mental illness here in America because we don't understand it. There's a lack of education. And so I think that for people who are listening that might be struggling with signs and symptoms of mental illness, that we just validate ourselves and to know that it's part of the body. It's your brain. And like you said, you know, we live in a fallen world where disease runs rampant, you know, in the body, in the brain. And, you know, like I brought up before, the whole exorcising of the demon. We're so quick to judge in
right.
the religious culture that, oh, if they're having mental problems, they must have a demon.
Right.
No. I mean, I'm sure that does exist.
I'm sure it does.
But let's not be so hasty and quick to,
right.
to judge.
Well, this isn't the end of her story, so you want to tune back in next week to hear the continuation of overcoming depression and suicidal thoughts.
Well, like I always said, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.